Awesome. How are we doing this morning?
What was that? Good lands.
That's what I get for making fun of Blake. I apologize, Blake. No, honest, if you are here this morning, good lands, where am I at? I'm also take two. No, welcome if you're visiting with us. Thank you for being here. I normally do a better job starting out, but it just gets better from here, I promise. But no, if you have your Bibles, grab those. We're going to be in the book of John to start with. A few different places we'll be this morning in the scriptures. And so John chapter 5 is where we'll get to here shortly. And before we do that, I just kind of want to just marvel for a moment and just the goodness and faithfulness of God as, man, last weekend with Cornerstone here. Cornerstone, if you do not know, is a Slavic church that uses this facility after us. They came to us months ago, and they were just looking for a place to gather, and a very young church, and so just looking to kind of get started to reach the world with the gospel. And so in meeting with them, we as a church said, yeah, we would love to have them gather here in this place after us. And so to come together, just being blown away by the example of what the church is, just reminded for a moment of what eternity will be like as we had two churches gathered under one roof together, just singing praises, diving into the gospel of Jesus. Small differences here and there, but nothing that interrupts our fellowship. Because for us and for them, the centrality of everything is Jesus. And so we came together and we got to worship together. And just so you know, we're planning more services like that in the future. As man, it was just a great time for the church to be the church. And so we had that go on last weekend. And then something else that I tried to have a picture. I got the picture this morning. I figured out my ways. Franklin has corrected me and helped me. But the bazaar. And like I said, kind of creeping last week a little bit when it was happening, just to kind of see what was going on before I got here. And I caught this on my phone, them gathering up to pray, which again just reveals the heart of that ministry, reveals the heart of this event. And so, man, I just had a great time. What little bit that I got to see and be a part of that morning, them coming together, trying to raise funds for missions, just so that the gospel can go forth all the more from here, was just an amazing. Amazing time, and it does my heart good. I don't know about you, but it just thank y'all for that ministry, and thank you for just sharing Jesus. And then this past Wednesday night, back in the back, and had some premarital counseling that I'm doing for a couple for a wedding coming up, and then I go back to the back in the gym, and there's like 23 kids, like youth aged there, and I'm just man, God's doing some stuff around here, and so I'm excited for that. As I got to show my age, play a little bit of kickball at the very end with them and remind myself that I'm not as young as I once was, as my hammy is still very hammy. But anyways, so, I mean, like I said, just excited to see all that God's doing here and around in ministries and in lives. And so 2 weeks ago, we were looking, we're in the series of discipleship, and with it, we've kind of woven in there just our vision, our mission, some core values of who we are as a church and as a people. And a few weeks ago, we talked about our second core value, which is connect. And so our desire and our hope is that people, when they come here, that they will get connected, that they'll get plugged in and be a part. And so we don't want spectators, we want participants, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to just fill a sanctuary with butts and seats. We want men and women who are hungry for the Lord, who want to grow in their relationship with Jesus, who want to give their life away. And we understand and recognize that everybody's at different places as it pertains to that, which is really what we're going to look at this morning. But our heart and our hope is this, is that we don't want you to come enjoy a show. We want you to come and worship the King. We don't want you to come and be, oh, the music was great or the preaching was whatever. We want you to come and engage and be a part of. And so when we sing songs, we want you to sing out. When we have opportunities to serve and give our life away, we want you to be a part of that. We don't want you just to sit there. We want you to be involved and participate. And so we looked a few weeks ago how to be connected, and we looked at three areas. The first one being corporate worship, meaning the gathering here on Sunday morning as we come and as we celebrate and as we lift high Jesus. The second way we want you to be connected is through discipleship. We want you either being discipled or discipling. And the way that happens is through groups. So we have life groups, or we have some one-on-one that takes place, or one on a few opportunities there to be in a group to be discipled and be pressed on and to mature in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. And then the last way we want you connected is through serving. We want you to give your life away. Inside the church and outside the church, like you saw, we have an interest meeting coming up next Sunday. service for the Montana mission trip. There's an opportunity to go to Montana this summer and help out on an Indian reservation and do some different things there. And so we're going to have an interest meeting next Sunday after church. And so that's outside the walls. But inside the walls right now, as we gather in this room, those of you who have kids, your kids are in rooms with adult leaders. And those adult leaders are modeling and showing and loving and walking out what Jesus is like. And so we need more of that happening in this place. We need more people in this place giving their life away. And what an honor it is to do that. So those are the three areas we looked at a few weeks ago of how you can be connected with God and with others. And so this morning what we're going to do is kind of flesh that out even more. Talk about maturing as a disciple and what could be this maturing and what could not be. We'll look at that, and then we'll also just kind of look at the process briefly and walk that out. And so we just believe that being connected helps aid in you being mature, growing in your faith, walking that out week in and week out. And so I'm going to pray for us one more time, and then we'll jump in this morning. So join me as we pray. Father, we love you. We need you. We thank you for this morning, God, again, just to be able to gather in this place with other believers, Father, to make much of you. We pray, Lord, as your word is proclaimed, that your Holy Spirit would work and draw and encourage and convict. Father, we know that you will. Father, help us hear. Help us have ears to hear what it is that you would say. And Father, my prayer this morning is that we would be very intentional with looking at our heart. All right, God, what is it that you want to say or accomplish in me? What is it that you need to do in me to help me get to that place of maturing in my walk with you? So, Father, I just pray that you would work. God, I pray that there'd be a heart here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that you would make them aware of that, and God, that you would draw and save. Father, all of this is for you. As we open up your word, as we sing songs, Father, it's for you. We pray that you draw man to you all the more. So, and we pray, amen. So spiritual maturity is more than just being a certain age. I believe that very, very much so. That's more than just because you're a certain age, okay, you're spiritually mature. That doesn't necessarily equate that way. It doesn't necessarily add up that way. Spiritual maturity is more than just being a part of a church for so long. That doesn't necessarily equate spiritual maturity, or having a bunch of knowledge does not necessarily equate to spiritual maturity, or knowing a bunch of Bible verses does not necessarily equate to spiritual maturity. And we could probably check those boxes. And there's more boxes that we could check, but let me try to flesh out for a moment what I mean by maturity and knowing the word as it could be or it may not be. So knowing the word of God could be true with spiritual maturity, and it could not be true. And so if you understand what the Bible is, then that's true. But if you don't understand what the scriptures are, then that's not true. That won't equate to maturity. So if you understand the scriptures are pointing to someone, okay, that will aid in you maturing in your faith. But if you think that the scriptures terminate on themselves, then that will just end in vanity. John 5:39 says it like this. This is Jesus. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is that they bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." So he says, hey, you're looking at the scriptures, you're going to the right place. The problem is you're looking at it the wrong way. You're looking at it the wrong way. You're going at it with the wrong heart, with the wrong motive. So if you do solo scriptura, that means that the whole point is just to know the Bible, then that's sin. Why do you want to know the Bible? Why do you know the Bible? Why do you go to the scriptures, which should be sola scriptura, which means it points to Jesus and furthers your relationship with Christ? That's maturity. Understanding and looking at and seeing the heart behind why. So does knowing the scriptures make you mature? Yes and no. Maybe and maybe not. And probably if we were to take a poll this morning, all of us in this room has probably come across someone who knows the scriptures and knows how to use them in the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about? Who knows some Bible verses, and the way that they use those Bible verses or their lack of obedience in knowing those Bible verses and what it has done maybe to you or maybe to other people in the church before. Like anybody know that brother with a hard heart who knows some verses? Who's just waiting for you to praise the wrong thing? Waiting for you to look at something wrong? Waiting for you to listen to that wrong song? Waiting for you to say that wrong word? Waiting for a moment just to pounce whenever? Like, that's the wrong heart, the wrong motive. So is maturing knowing the scriptures, yes and no. It is the heart of it to grow in Christ, to know him more, to walk with him more closely than, yes, that's maturity. Is it just to know some things to win an argument? Is it just to know some things to help your cousin live a closer life to Jesus for the wrong reasons and knowing that? Then no, that's not maturity. Another way that maturity can be misconstrued is through behavior modification. So should our behavior be changing? The answer should be yes. Me as a follower of Jesus, I should look more like Christ today than I ever have. I should look more like Jesus today than I ever have. If I look the same, act the same, talk the same, think the same as the day that I come to faith. Now, if that was just a couple weeks ago, you've got some room there. But me being saved at the age of 11, and I'll be 40 in a week, I had better be different. I had better be changed. There had better be some things different about me today than when I was saved at 11. So behavior modification, this thought of, well, I used to cuss like this and say this stuff and do that, but now it's only a few times I let it slip, or I only just every once in a while, or I used to get drunk all the time. Now I just drink 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 beers at night to just kind of help calm the nerves when I get home from work. Or I used to be real, real aggressive and angry toward my wife, and now I'm only like that whenever she doesn't listen and doesn't act the way that she should act, or so I think. Maybe not the right type of behavior modification. See, the problem is when we set the bar down low, and in all reality, the bar should be up higher. What we do is we like to kind of gauge our life off of the wrong things. We look at our neighbor, or we look at how someone else acts, and so we act this way, or we do it this way, or we talk this way, when in all reality, Jesus is the bar. Jesus is the bar. So in the end, we say behavior modification is spiritual maturity, and the answer is yes, it is, but it may not be. I've known plenty of lost folk who have gotten sick and tired of living a certain way, being addicted to certain things, and they work really, really hard to break those habits, break those patterns, with no credit to Jesus at all. Just wanting to make change in their life, wanting to see differences in their life. Is that spiritual maturity? No. No, it's not. There are disciplines and things that we can do where we can just hunker down and white knuckle things, and we can change behavior, we can change patterns, we can do some things different with no credit to Jesus. Just our doing. Now we know that there's more to that. But for the believer, it's acknowledging and knowing that it's Christ working in us. And the reason, why do I not want to act like that? Why do I not want to live that way or behave that way? It's because Jesus doesn't. It's because he has set a standard and set a bar, and we're to act and to live in that way. So in the end, behavior modification could be spiritual maturity, or it could not be. See, Galatians 2:21 says this. Galatians 2:21, it says this. It says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So now that I'm living right, I'm maturing. But also, as I said, you could live in a way and do things in a way that has nothing to do with God. And what we see here is that righteousness with God cannot be purchased by the law. Because if it could be, then Jesus died for no reason. Jesus died for no reason. So is it knowing the Word of God? Yes and no. Is it changing your behavior? Yes and no. So it's the heart and it's the motive by which you approach it, by which you look at it, by which you live out and do. Yes, I want my behavior to change. Why? Because I want to look more like Christ and less like me. I want to be more alive in him and dead to the flesh and to the world. Do I want to know the Word? Absolutely, I want to know the Word. But I don't want to know the Word of God just so I can win an argument. I don't want to know the Word of God just so I can just wait for somebody to do something wrong so I can pounce on them. I want to know the Word of God so it can permeate my heart, so I can hide it in my heart, that I might not sin against God, so that I can see and understand the way that I should live, the way that I should respond, the way that I should be, the things that I should say and shouldn't say. Why? Because it represents that of Christ. Not just so I can know some Bible verses to be smart or to be cute or to seem spiritual, but so that I can be changed and molded in the image of Christ. And so for me, I just believe maturity happens better and faster when we're connected intentionally and relationally with other believers. I just believe that it happens so much better, so much faster when we're in. That's why being connected is such a vital point. Man, I need people in my life that's going to have conversations with me around the Word of God. I need people in my life who's going to live out and model what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. I need people having intentional conversations with me about that, to press me, to challenge me, to ask me. I need to be connected. And when I'm connected in settings like this, and when I'm connected with other believers around the reality of what the Word is and what God's doing, when I'm serving and giving my life away, God starts to work and shape and mold and do some things in me whereby He changes me from myself more into the image of His glorious Son. And so we want you connected. We want you growing and maturing. And so I think the problem is this, where we really struggle is with the intentional piece. I think where we struggle and we fall short is with the intentional piece. Now we'll somewhat intentionally share the gospel. We'll somewhat intentionally share the gospel and tell people about Jesus or kind of talk about Jesus a little bit. And then we think that we've done something. They come to faith and like, okay, I did it. Look at what happened. Yes, go God now. But now I would argue that the work really starts because we're called to go make disciples, not go share just the gospel and then we're done. Not just go share and introduce someone to Jesus and then we're finished, but we're to do the difficult work of relationship, of intentionally walking with and being connected to other people to see this happen, to see growth take place. So part of it is, yes, part of discipleship is, yes, sharing the gospel, telling people about Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. It only intensifies after that. It only is us needing to get much more serious. And so I want to ask a question real fast, and then I want to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about, I believe, happens in the church far too often. And the question I would ask is this. Who here this morning, this is like a little crowd participation for just a second. Who here this morning, after coming to faith, had someone or someones come alongside you that would do that regularly and intentionally walk with and model and ask questions that would help press you toward maturity? I'm not talking about just gathering once a week in a service. I'm talking about someone who would get with you intentionally week in and week out. Yeah, you may miss a few days or a few weeks here or there, but they were on you regularly in a loving, gracious way to help you mature and grow in your faith with Christ, whereby you could see them live it out. You could ask questions, they could ask you questions, and you had this accountability openness about. Who in this place? Who's I can't raise my hand because I didn't. Let's have somebody do that. Anybody? Have somebody? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. So very, very few of us has had that. Very, very few of us has had someone come on. I sure didn't. I don't remember a time in my life where when I got up to age or whatever age is there, like the guy that got like thrust forward to praying for meals in his home was the high school kid. I don't remember a time where mom and dad would open up the scriptures and talk to me about Jesus. I don't remember driving down the road and them saying, man, look at that sunrise. So just let me tell you who painted that in the sky. Let me tell you who created and made. I don't remember it. I remember a time that if the cartoons on Sunday morning was a little bit appealing, we could talk them out of going to church on Sunday morning. I remember whenever sports became a big thing in our life at that age, that it was super, super easy kind of just pushing it aside, church to stay home and get ready and prepare and be, even though the game didn't start till 2 p.m. And church started at 9. But then, this is a big game this week, and we've really got I've gotten at stretching, and you don't stretch as an elementary school kid, but I could talk out of it. I didn't have that in my life either. And so I think what happens so often, and I want to press this here some more, because I feel a little tension, and I like that. I don't know about you, but I like the tension that this kind of creates in this moment. Because normally our default is, well, I didn't have anyone show me that or teach me that or do that in my life, so I'm just going to kind of punt on my responsibility. And I just want to lovingly challenge you and tell you that even if you didn't have someone walk with you and show you and do that with you, you punting on your responsibility doesn't get you out of it. Like that day before God, well, let me, like Little League football, remember? Like God, you know that I didn't have anybody that would open up the scriptures and help me or would talk to me or would challenge me or would pray. God, you know, it wasn't until college that happened, so I didn't have that or I didn't see it, or if I've never had it or seen it. But he would say, yeah, boy, but you changed the compressor on your freezer once. Who does that? You diagnosed it and did that. Yeah, but God, you give me YouTube. Yeah, but I give you my word, Scott. I give you the example of my son. Did you not see how he did it? Did you read the Gospels? You know those guys that I give him, those 12 dudes that I let him walk with, that he modeled out, you read the stories, you know. I don't care what the example is set before you. You've got the example of all examples. And so I think what happens so often is this is kind of the picture, and I don't know if you remember this. Probably been about 5 years ago, introduced you to baby girl. This is baby girl. My youngest boy had a phase where he wanted a baby doll, and my wife thought it would be good to get him one, and so this is baby girl. A few years ago when I did this illustration, I had to borrow a baby doll, but not this time, as she's ours. And so she's a precious little thing, she is. But I think the example is this, is that what we do as the church is we find someone who's dead, who doesn't know Jesus, who isn't alive in Christ, and so we get to share the gospel, and as we share the gospel, they come to faith, we believe they cross from death to life, and then they kind of enter into this infancy stage. And so now there they are, and so what we do is we'll give them a Bible, or we'll give them some verses and things like that, and just kind of set them over there and be like, all right, go for it, you got this. And then what I kind of likened it to was this, as baby girl right here is not very very old, she doesn't have teeth, she's not very mature, she's an infant, right? And so infants can't do this. And so what happens is we as the church, we expect the infant to kind of just get it and figure it out. And so I did my part, right? I shared Jesus with them. I talked to Jesus. They come to know Jesus. I prayed with them. And then we've just kind of like turned them loose and give them a Bible. And it's almost like one of these things like, oh, I dropped that. But here you go. There you go, girl. You got this. Oh, yeah. The doctrines of God. Okay. There you go. Oh, the Trinity. That's a good one. Yeah. Figure it out. The Bible, it's in it. There you go. Like, just keep going. Yeah, there. Oh, yeah. Here, you know what? I'm just going to leave it right here for you. There you go. You just get in there and you get it. And we don't ever. And if we can't chew on cheese balls. I mean, when they can gum it for a few minutes. And then what happens? It becomes this thing in their mouth. It becomes like a paste. And then if you don't get it out, they're going to choke. They're going to choke and die, will they not? But we do the same thing in church. Is we share the gospel, we tell them about Jesus, we do things like that, and they come to faith. And then what we do is we just throw the word of God at them, or we give them a Bible, and we're like, okay, good luck starting John or Genesis. And go with it. And we don't check up on them, we don't follow up with them, we don't have conversations, we don't invite them back over, it's like we've done our part and then we're done. And my argument and my thing is, no man, I don't want to give them cheese balls. An infant needs a bottle to suck on because that's what they can handle. That's what they can take. That's what they can digest. So they need some of the simpler things of the Word of God. And what they need more than anything is for someone to come along beside them, sit right down next to them, and start to have conversations about the difficult things in the Word. So we're reading through the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, man. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And it goes on to talk about who this Word is, because later on in verse 14, it talks about, and the Word, it was Jesus. He was the Word. So let's talk about the Word for a moment. Did you get that when you read that? Did you understand that? Did you see that? That man, there was never a moment when Jesus wasn't with God. And you start to have those type of conversations. Hey, as you're reading through John chapter 1 here, sit up there. You don't need to slouch. Christians have got good posture. But as they begin to read through John chapter 1, jot down some questions. No dumb questions here. The difficult things. You know what? Let's do this. Next week, and we'll come over. I'll come over next week, and we'll get into it again, and we'll talk about it more. Or how about this? How about you come over to my house? You sit around my table. Now, it's going to be a little crazy because I got three boys. And after lunch, or after dinner, after we eat, we're going to have to try to put them down. And then after that, we'll just gather around the table, and we'll talk for a little bit. But I want you to see the mess of it all, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I want you over at the house, and I want you around, and I want you in, and I want you there, and I want you to, you're going to think at times like I've lost it, and I have most of the time, but God redeems it and brings it back, and it's the craziness of the moment that we just love, and we walk in, and we're believing that God's going to work and do, And I want you to see how I handle my kids and how I love my kids and how I discipline my kids and how I encourage my kids and how I do all of, like, I just want you around. And bring your notes and then we'll talk about it after. But far too often we just, here's the Bible, good luck, go with it. And we're just like, we're throwing cheese balls at a little infant. And it's just, it doesn't work that way. They need what they can eat and what they can chew on. So when we're saved, we pass from death to life. And we start off at a place that's not very mature in our faith. And we have to grow and to go through that process of maturing. And that process is one that's normally slow and difficult at times. It's one that's normally slow, like maturing. Like I want to be there. And y'all, like I said earlier, I was saved at 11. I'll be 40 in a week. And there are times in my life where I just step back and I look at myself and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm almost 40 and I acted like that. That was not a very mature response as a believer. And so it's a process. There's things in me that God is still working and doing in me to shape and mold me and to form and to get out of me. And there's a process in which he does that, and it's slow and painful at times, because what that requires is me having to look inward and allow him to just start to work on some things and allow other people to come along and kind of press me in some areas that I normally don't like to be pressed in. But he does that because he loves me, and I want to be at a place where I will allow that to happen, where people can start to do that. And so this morning, what I'm going to do as we start to wind down is this will be the difficult part this morning. And what I mean by difficult is every single one of us in this room is at one of these places this morning. Every single one of us is at one of these places this morning. And when I say it's going to be difficult, because my hope and my heart this morning is that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us really quick where we're at in process. We're not called to perfection. We're in process. Every single one of us that we're at, and we all move at a different speed in maturing and growing in the process that we're in. And my heart and my hope is that God would show you really quickly where you're at in this process. And what I want to say up front is it's okay to be wherever you're at. It's all right to be at whatever place in the process. Just don't be satisfied or content in that place. Want more. Allow the Holy Spirit to challenge and to shape and to press you. Allow God to reveal in you some of those areas that need to be changed, that need to be confessed and repented of. Let God work in this moment is my prayer for us as I was studying and reading this week. And so this is a way that you can assess where you're at spiritually. And it's by no means an elitist way of talking or mentality. It's just words that kind of help us understand. And with it is the physical side of things that I think kind of just brings into the picture spiritual things. And so the first stage that everybody's in, everybody ever born enters into the world in this stage. And the first stage is that of being dead. Dead meaning no heartbeat, no desire for the things of God, no love for Jesus. You've not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so it can be done in many ways. You could either have just rejected him and not want anything to do with him. You may even be in the process of seeking God, and you may even say, hey, you're spiritual, or claim to know God, but you're not a Christian. You've never come to that place where you've seen yourself as lost, sinful, wicked, in need of a Savior. And so you've never entered into relationship with Jesus through faith. And hear me, church, salvation is so much more than just knowing some stuff about Jesus. It's about knowing him and walking with him and having relationship with him, whereby you confess sin, whereby you live a life of repentance, whereby you seek and pursue holiness, whereby you live out the things that he commands and says. And there's a glad joy in walking out obediently with Christ. Salvation is more than just knowing some stuff about Jesus. It's about having a relationship. It's entering into through faith with him. And so once that happens, once someone comes to faith in Christ, they go from dead to being an infant in Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says it like this. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So once someone crosses from death to life, they enter into that stage of infancy and in maturity. And so people in this stage, they've accepted Jesus. They've accepted Christ. But they haven't moved much past that stage or past that point. They can be new believers, or they may be someone who's been in the church for a long, long time. But the way to determine or a way to understand better about where this person is that they are very self-focused, very much about me. Like, what do I get out of the service? What does it do for me? How does serving benefit me? What will that class do for me? It's very just me driven. All about me, all about my needs, my likes, my wants. And so what happens is, as someone matures and starts to grow, and whether they have someone walking with them or not, as they're in the Word, as they're starting to grow and see, okay, there's some things in my life that needs to change. I need the Holy Spirit to work and do in me and start to help me become less self-centered. It moves me from the infant stage to the child stage. And so people in the child stage, they're growing in their relationship with God. They're starting to grow in their relationship with other Christians. And I don't mean just like talking about the game or talking about how the tires on your car are, or man, the weather moving in this weekend is going to be. I'm talking about some things of depth and meaning. Some things that really, really matter and have meaning. And so they're starting to kind of grow in relationship like that with other believers. They're starting to try to apply God's word in their life and allowing others to walk beside them in their journey following Christ. However, they're still very much in that me-centered stage. So very, very much in that area of about me, what I like. Okay, I'll go, but I just didn't get anything out of Sunday. Or I just didn't get anything out of the music or the preaching. It's very me, and what does it do for me, centered and focused about my needs and comforts. See, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says it like this. 1 Thessalonians 2:10, it says this. It says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." And so what's happening is we're going from being so self-centered to a little bit less self-centered with other people in our life right there where we've witnessed and we've seen, we've experienced what it's like. We've seen how people have acted, their conduct toward believers. We've seen how they've lived out and how they've responded in certain areas and situations. We've experienced it and we've seen it. We've been exhorted, or they exhort other people. They lift up and they make much of Jesus and they encourage others. They charge them to walk in a manner worthy of God. So they're starting to see that. They're starting to step out. They're starting to kind of move in that direction. And so they go from infant to child. And I believe one of the things that happens in the church is that a lot of people land in this spot and don't move past it mature-wise. Is that it's so easy to just kind of get to this place and kind of just grow stagnant and just be in this area for a really, really, really long time. Where you're growing in the Lord a little bit, but you're still really, really, really me focused. Like, man, what does this do for me? How does this benefit me? How does this help me? What do I get out of this? What can this do for me? And kind of just get stuck in that place, in that pattern where we don't really want to serve, don't really want to give our life away too much. We will a little bit, as long as it doesn't inconvenience us too much. Or we'll serve in the places that we just want to serve in, or how we like it when we want it, or things like that. And then what happens is, as you're there and the Holy Spirit begins to work and do and starts to draw you, because God's desire is for you not to get to a place and get stuck. God doesn't want his church, his people, just to be stuck in infancy or childhood. He wants to produce the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, he wants to produce mature believers. You see that kind of talk throughout the scriptures with the Apostle Paul as he charges different churches, as he writes letters to Timothy, as he writes letters to different places in the scriptures. You see that there is this desire and longing in the heart of God for his men and women to grow and be mature in their faith, in the word of God, as they live out and walk out their life spiritually. And so what happens is, as we move from childhood to this next phase, which is called a young adult, something big happens here in this phase. And the thing that happens big here is that we go from so much me-centered to other-centered. It doesn't matter about my likes, my wants, my needs, my whatever. It starts to turn, and as it turns, it gets placed on others. As we become more others-focused, man, how can I serve so-and-so? Why would I not step up to the challenge and give my life away in this area? Man, they've got a need in this place? Yeah, let me fill it. Yeah, I don't know much about that, but you know what? I'm a willing body that can step in and love Jesus, and I can be a part of that. I can help out there in that place. No, I don't need anything for it. I don't need recognition. I don't need this. I don't need a pat on the back. Why would I not serve and give my life away in this capacity? Why would I not get up and go and do here? Why would I not care for? Why would I not invite over? Why it doesn't make sense to me why I wouldn't do this. Because I know and I understand what Jesus has done for me. And as a result of that, like I want other people to taste of that. I want other people to see of that. So I want to be others focused. And so what happens is that people are in this stage. They're growing in their relationship with God. And they're starting to grow even more so in their relationship with other Christians. They're applying God's word in their life, allowing others to walk beside them, journey with them, challenge them, press them, but push them toward maturity, asking questions about their life, helping them get out of their comfort zone, get away from just their needs and look at others' needs. Like Philippians 2:3 says it like this. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." See, someone in this stage of spiritual maturity is others focused. You look for opportunities to encourage others. You look for opportunities to serve others. You look for opportunities to see the gospel go forth in a way that would encourage others. So he says, "But in humility, count others more significant than yourself, lest each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So really what happens in the phases here going from childhood to young adult, spiritually speaking, is there's this change and this focus on others. I mean, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I help someone else benefit and grow? How can I serve someone else? What is a need that hasn't been met that I can, man, step up and help fill that spot? And so then once someone is at a young adult, the next phase, and again, I believe it's a phase that very few get to, and I'll explain why here in a second, but you go from a young adult, spiritually speaking, to a parent. And I'll just kind of give you some characteristics real quick to talk about what a parent's like. A parent has a solid understanding of God's word. They don't know it all, but they know how to go find things. They know how to study and dig deeper. Young adults getting to that place as well, knowing the word of God, getting in the word of God, can understand the word of God and share the word of God. But a parent has a solid understanding of the word of God, a deep relationship with the Father, spending time in the word with the Lord, living out God's word in life. They're other-centered and God-dependent. How can I serve? How can I give my life away? How can I do? God, I'm going to need you to help me in this one. Like that person, are you sure? Like you know what they're like. Ah, life suckers. Let's do it. I'm in. I'll do it. God, this is what you want. I'm yours. Whatever you need me to do. And so the thing about a parent, the thing about a parent, or the reason why I believe that not many get to this place is because to be a parent, you have to have what? Kids, yeah, right? To be a parent, you have to have children. Now with that, how in the world do we get kids, or what does that even mean? And what that simply means is that they are, or they have, reproduced mature disciples of Christ by inviting others to follow and journey with them for the sole purpose of raising up to release them to do the same thing. So me, early on in my marriage, when Meredith and I, we were married, we waited about 4.5-5 years before we started having kids. If I'd have busted in somewhere 2 years into my marriage and said, "Hey, I'm here, I'm a parent," they would look at me like I'm crazy because I don't have kids. I didn't have little ones that I had raised up, or little ones. Like when parents would talk about stuff, like this is the funny thing. Like as a non-parent, you think parents are crazy. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just a baby. This is what I would do if I had a baby, until you have a baby. And then you're like, dang, they're onto something. I don't know everything that I thought that I knew. Now I'm 3 deep into having kids, and I'm just like, man, grace upon grace, yo. But like, they're all different. They all have their little minds. They all take special stuff, and it's just, but the thing is this, like, I'm a parent now. I mean, I can not just talk the talk, but I can walk the walk. Like I've done it. I know some things that work. I know some things that don't work. I've been, but I'm a parent. And the thing that I see in the church so often is that not many people get to this place. And let me try to illustrate. Like who have you? Because when I ask the question, the hope would be in 20 years, less than 20 years, let's say 10 years. When I ask that question again, hey, who in this room has had somebody walk with them intentionally, pushing them to Jesus, sharing the word of God, asking questions about their life, holding them accountable, raising them up to release them out to do it? Very few raise their hands. My hope and my heart is that in 5 years, that's not the case in this place. So who right now, you want to be spiritually mature at the top level? Who are you walking with intentionally week after week, pouring your life into, around the word of God, raising up just to release them to go do the same thing? And see, I think the scary part for the church today is that there's not much of that happens. I'm not just talking about here, I'm talking about across the board. Whereby we give our life away to that level. That we surrender ourself, my yes, to that point. And church, this is what we need to understand and know. The Great Commission says what? To do that. So from the mouth of Jesus, he says, go make disciples. And if you don't do something that Jesus says, that's considered what? Sin. All day, every day. If Jesus tells us, he doesn't say, hey, pray about making disciples, or hey, think about it, or if the situation presents itself in a way that would benefit you and make you feel comfortable and good and right, then do. No, he doesn't say, he just says, go do it. And so when Jesus commands us to do something and we don't do something that he commands us to do, it's called sin. And what do we do as believers when we're presented with the reality that we're living in open rebellion to the King? We let the Holy Spirit break us, and we live a life of repentance, and we run back to the cross, and we confess our sin, and we let the Lord work in us in such ways that now we start to walk out obedience. That's what we do. And so if you want to be looked at, or if you want to be spiritually mature, you need to have a kid. And I'm not talking about like what we do here that we're really, really good at physically. Yeah, keep doing that. That's great. But I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about looking at someone in this room and saying, hey, like I heard this morning a conversation. Somebody come up to me and said, hey, guess what? I'm going to lunch with him today. Man, this was brought to me that there's someone in this room that's excited about and wants to grow in their walk with Christ, and they just want someone to pour into them. And so this couple has been approached, and you know what? The couple said yes. Is it going to cost them something? Absolutely. It's going to cost them their lunch plans after church. It's going to cost them something, hopefully next week and the next week and the next. It's going to cost them time. It's going to cost them energy. It's going to cost them some inconveniences. It's going to cost them something. But the cost is well worth it. Why? Because they get to pour their life out into another couple and see them grow and mature in their relationship with Jesus. See, that's what it looks like. That's what it is. See, 2 Timothy 2:2 says it this way. This is Paul encouraging young Timothy, pressing on somebody. He says this, heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says, Timothy, what you've seen and what you've heard about me in the presence of others, entrust that to others. Hand that over, give that to them, raise them up, show them how to, why, so that they can go do the same thing. So they can go do the same thing. If it's about one guy doing this, it's going to go nowhere. It's not going to be successful, and it's not going to happen, and the church is not going to mature like she should. You coming and sitting in and listening to a sermon once a week for 45 minutes of your week, that's not going to get you to where you need to be mature, spiritually speaking. You may learn some stuff. The Holy Spirit may prick your heart. You may even come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But that's not going to do it. That's not going to accomplish what we're talking about this morning in you becoming a mature believer in Christ. And see, I would probably even argue that where maturity happens is not in this place, but what are you going to do today after you leave this place? How are you going to live out God's word at lunch? Oh, by the way, tonight when you go to bed, before you go to bed, what are you going to do that's going to help you mature and grow in your walk with Christ? And then tomorrow morning when you wake up, how are you going to prepare and work in that area to be able to grow and mature in your relationship with Jesus? Wait till Sunday. Like if this is your quiet time or your devotion to get you, like the thing that blows my mind is the amount of people that will leave a church because the preacher just ain't feeding me. Where else in your life does that play out? You get hungry this afternoon sitting on the couch, Bobo. What are you going to do? You're going to the pantry to get you some food, are you not? I mean, you may ask Honey Bear to go fix you a sandwich, and maybe, I don't know, but if she don't, or she may love you enough to tell you, honey, get off your blessed assurance and go make your own sandwich, by which you should and make her one too, because that's what mature, loving, spiritual husbands do, right? Dang it, my wife's here. Watch it later. But you know what I'm saying? Like nowhere else in our life does that play out and does it work that way. If you're not feasting outside of here, there's a major issue. And I love the truth about it. The question I would ask you is this. If you're not feasting on the Word of God outside of here, the question I ask you is this. What sin is in your life preventing you from doing it? Or two, are you His? You don't know me that way. I know I don't know you that way. But I know enough from what the Word of God says to say, hey, man, if you don't have a hunger and a desire for the Word of God, then there's an issue. And what I do is love you enough and care for you enough just to tell you the truth. And so nowhere else in our life does it work that way. Else. And so the more spiritually mature you are, the more others focused you'll be. The more spiritually mature you are, the more others focused you'll be. The more spiritually mature you are, the more you want to bring others along with you. The more you'll want to invest in others. Like right now in my life for over a year, there is a couple that comes over every Monday night. Now, there's been some times where we've had to cancel or push it off or things have happened. But for probably going on about a year and a half now, there's a couple that comes over every Monday night and they have dinner. You know how much they paid for dinner? Nothing. You know, they don't bring, we just want them to come and sit at our table, see the craziness that's called the Millers, as we try to pursue Jesus and love Him and invest in them and have gospel conversation and just pray for one another and encourage one another. We for the last year, has it cost us something? Yeah, absolutely. There's other things I would much rather do sometimes on Monday nights. But it's not about me. It's about Him being magnified and raising others up to release Him to go do the same thing. And I am a guy that didn't have it modeled either, but what I did have is I had student ministry that God called me into first, and what I found out real quick in student ministry is that kids just want somebody to talk to and hang out with. And what I found out as I've gotten older that we're not much removed from that either, are we? We just want to be loved and accepted, and we want to find a place where we can be ourselves and we can be just cared for and loved on and a place to belong. Y'all get that? That's why our kids are leaving in groves. That's why people walk away from the faith, because we've not created that environment and that place for. And I'm not saying you just turn a blind eye to. That's not love. Love is not just, oh, let them do whatever. And No. Love is challenging and caring for them in a way that honors God. But everybody's looking for a place to be and belong. And everybody's going to find a place to be and belong. And the hope and the heart should be the church. Should be your living room, Christian. Should be around your dinner table, believer. That should be the place, church, where we love and we care for and we walk with. And the more spiritually mature you are, the more others focused you'll be. And so I know, again, the tension here this morning that I've created. So Scott, you're saying that I'm not saying that you're anything. All I'm saying is simply this, is that our talk and walk and how we act and how we react consistently gives us away. That's what I'm saying. I don't have to say anything of where you're at in the phases. You say it loud enough by the way you live your life, by the way that you talk, by the way that you react, by the things that you do. And what it does, it just points to where we're at in the process. And anyway, there'll be some shift and some moving back and forth from time to time. But trust me, you follow me along in a week, and there will be times where I do not look like a spiritually mature person. Do not act like a spiritually mature person. And then what happens, God convicts me of that, or I call my boys that I have accountability with, and I share, man, this is happening in my heart, and this just set me off, and this is what, pray for me. And then I'll run to the Father again and again and again, like we just sang earlier, and be reminded of who I am in Him. And He'll start to work on and shape and mold me all the more. But man, the heart and the hope as the band comes back is this, is that we'd be growing in our faith, that we'd be maturing in our faith. And maturing in our faith doesn't necessarily mean knowing more. Maturing in our faith doesn't necessarily mean your behavior being changed, though it does. Maturing in your faith means you become less and less and less and less cared about you and more cared about Christ and others. So maturity is knowing and learning. Maturity is behavioral change. And all of those things happen when we spend time with the Lord and we allow God as well as others to press in on those areas of our life that aren't fully developed in our faith walk. It's us dying to self so that we can fully surrender our lives to doing whatever it is that Christ asks us and wants us to. And it's to go make disciples of the nations. Make more disciples. That's the thing. Like Jesus doesn't just say, and that's why I love there at the end, the tag, and that's why it's in our vision and our mission, is that we want to take the gospel to the nations. We want everybody on planet Earth to hear the gospel. See, if Jesus would have just said, hey, go make a disciple. No, he says, go make disciples, plural. So when you've raised up one and released them out, you've not done your job because you got to keep going, man. Because there's more and more and more and more and more people that need to hear the gospel, that need to grow and mature in their relationship with Christ. Like I think the thing as a pastor that just breaks my heart and crushes me is to look at this room this morning and know the potential in this room. To know what we could be. To know where we could go. To know what we could do, but we don't. Out of contentment with where we're at, or out of image or thought of what this is what church is supposed to be, or this is what my walk with Jesus is supposed to be, or I just need to know a few verses and I'm okay, or if I just get my kids here, they'll fix them or do them, or if I just, and it's not that. Man, it's looking at someone and saying, hey, will you commit to journey with me for this next year? And I think some of the fear in doing that is that people will get to see your imperfections and your issues. Like right now, if you'd ask that couple, I mean, they could tell you the good, bad, and the ugly about Scott Miller. And you know what? That's okay. Because they know me and they're still continuing to journey with me for whatever reason. And they've still committed to love and care for me like I have them. And the thing that blows my mind is at the end of the day, as closely as they've gotten to me and my family, there's a God of the universe that knows me far more better than they do. And His response to me is to come after with a reckless abandon, to get me and draw me back, and to love me in the mess ups, and to care for me, and to discipline me when I need it, and to pat me on the little butt of encouragement when I need it, regardless of. And so I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what God's pressing on your heart. I don't know what He said to you, but I know this, is that we want to be very, very serious about helping and creating environments and places for us to grow, mature in our walk, in our faith. And what I said when I first started is it's okay to be where you're at. Just don't be satisfied with it. Just don't be okay at staying in that place. I mean, if you're here this morning and you're a spiritual child, be a spiritual child, but don't be content being a spiritual child. Press in. Find somebody. I'll be out at the welcome desk here in a little bit. Find me. We will take your name down. We'll take your... There's a couple today going out with another couple today for this purpose. There are people in this room that would love to pour into. There's coming a day whenever we're going to kick these out to go do the same thing that we've done. And so we're going to be looking for more people to bring in on a Monday afternoon. That's what it looks like. Just don't be content. And know that growth and maturity is slow. Growth and maturity, so almost 30 years into this thing, and I still have got a ways to go. Ways to go. And so what's God spoken to you this morning? What has He said? What has He challenged you with? What has He convicted you of? Where are you at in those phases? What are you going to do about it? The altar's open. I'll be down here. I'd love to talk, love to pray with, do whatever I could do to help you, to aid you in that, walking out your maturity or walking out your faith, or even figuring out if you have faith as a believer right now, whatever that looks like, whatever that means for you, be here in this moment. If you ask God to show you, He'll tell you. If you ask God, hey, reveal to me where I'm at, what I need to do, He's not going to hold back. He's not going to hold back. And if you're afraid that He is, really, really want to know, ask your spouse or ask your they'll help you real quick know where you're at in that process. So, Father, you, Jesus, we need you. We thank you. God, work and move in this place this morning, I pray. Father, my heart and my mind was not to stand in this room this morning, and I have not called anybody anything in regards to where they're at spiritually. But, Father, what I do pray is this, is that your Holy Spirit would reveal, God, even in my heart, there's areas this week as I was looking and studying and reading where I'm like, not that area. You want that too? Yeah, you do, don't you? And so you call me in deeper to die to self, to be more selfless, to live for you, to engage and to walk with and to care for. And so, God, I just pray that this morning for the men and women in this room. If there be one that don't know you, Lord, this morning, that you would reveal that to them and that you will save them. And God, for those in this room that are yours, that are stuck in immaturity, God, that you would let this be the time that you just press them all the more further toward maturity. So, Jesus, we love you. We need you. We thank you.